Let us pray. Holy Spirit, fall upon us in this moment and lift us up through Christ to the Father. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Imagine with me the outskirts of a Roman city long ago. The aged slave clucks his tongue. He grunts as the arthritis stabs at his knee. Why does he have to do this? The bundle on his shoulder squirms and bawls like a lamb. A skin of spiced wine after this. He deserves it. Why does old Cyrenus have to do filth like this? Better one of the slave girls. The bundle explodes with a second round of howls. Cyrenus makes the big sign to warn off the oculus malus, the evil eye. Hecate, leave me be. Your dogs can have this mass of flesh soon enough. The old slave limps outside the city gate. The bored legionnaire on duty nods. How many slaves has he seen bearing wailing bundles? It's been a bad moon. Again, Cyrenus gestures against the evil, the fig sign. The mountain slopes up to his left, little groves of trees surrounding altars. He can see a few lit torches and genuflectors burning meat to local sprites. Halfway up, the master said. Halfway up. Cyrenus growls at his bad fortune. With this knee, it'll take him a good hour, maybe two, to get there. The stars flicker above him as he leans on a tree to catch his breath. So many stars. And Venus hovering above the horizon, casting out her amorous, lusty rays. So many stars. Even Venus couldn't name them all. Finally, halfway up, Cyrenus dumps the linen sack on the ground. A little hand breaks free from the bundle. It jerks and writhes with only three fingers. The slave spits on the bundle. Abomination! Keep your curse to yourself. Keep your curse, you little exposita. You couldn't even have been born a boy, could you? But on top of it, this. Misformed. Shame for the master. You have never existed. Cyrenus spits again, thrusts his fist forward in the sign of the fig for the last time, and limps away. In ancient Rome, the family line, the descending genealogy, was at the mercy of the paterfamilias, the head of the household. In a culture desperate for healthy male heirs, other infants were considered expendable. Inopportune daughters and babes with perceived flaws could be left on temple steps, mountain slopes, or other places deemed proper for expositio, exposure. The elements or wild animals got some. Slavers scooped up others for the flesh trade. A few were rescued. Roman society wanted genealogy on its own terms. Children were prized if they fit the desired model, if they promoted Roman power and advancement. And Herod the Great, from our gospel reading this evening, had a taste for Roman society and culture. A builder of circus arenas, baths, and aqueducts, Herod longed to make Judea a civilized Roman state. An Edomite by birth, Herod's father had been friendly with Julius Caesar. And around 40 BC, the Roman Senate named him King of Judea. Though officially Jewish in religion, Roman culture's worship of power ran in Herod's veins. He was okay with genealogy as long as it was on his own terms. Roman soldiers used to joke that it was better to be a pig than to be one of Herod's sons. And now a threat to his power, a birth, a link in the genealogical chain of the legendary King David. Like a good paterfamilias intent on promoting his own power, Herod sends his servants to deal with the bad birth. And in the mode of a cranky old Cyrenus, they deal with the threat. Dead infants, you could say, on the mountain. And that mountain lives on into our own day. Slaves of our own society abandon plenty of unwanteds on its slopes. But our unwanteds include not only our own version of the holy innocents, aborted children, but also people that our culture wants to forget and get over with. The wisdom of our age despises genealogy. We love to pretend that we will live forever, and both babies and the dead tell us otherwise. They place before us the reality that we are part of a line stretching forward and back. We have a beginning and we have an end. And so our culture abandons both the past, the dead and the dying, and the future, inconvenient children. The slopes of the mountain are covered with those to be forgotten. And we've all wept with Rachel before those abandoned on the mountain. In this Christmas season, our culture tells us to just enjoy ourselves and to get on with life. To forget the father who passed away 5 years ago. To lay aside the memory of the miscarried child. To get over the wife who died 10 years prior. To ignore the pain of the abortion. Leave it on the mountain. Halfway up, spit and make the sign of the fig. Walk away. Let it go. But there is one who walks the mountain slopes. One who walks the mountain slopes under the stars. He seeks out the abandoned, the howling little bundles, the dying man with the gurgling death rattle, alone in his hospital room. The long past grandmother with no flowers on her grave. His strong arms lift each to joy and to love. The future and the past are his. He loves the line of genealogy. Each link is his gift, his grace. He knows the name of each of the abandoned. Even as he knows the name of each of the stars flickering overhead. Venus be damned. Envious Herod, sad sack of Satan, go to hell. All of the little sprites and gods of ancient Rome and modern America scatter before him as he scours the slopes. For he is Alpha and he is Omega. He is beginning and he is end. He is lion and he is lamb. On this his mountain, Mount Zion. And in the haze of the Spirit this evening, St. John sees him. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile. For they are without fault before the throne of God. Beside the master of the mountain are those abandoned from genealogy. Symbolically, they are the virgins, those disconnected from the line of descent, the cast-offs from our world, the forgotten, the unwanted. But the roaring Lamb of the Apocalypse claims them as his own. He cradles each of our lost children. He lifts each of our long-dead grandfathers. He holds each of our departed wives and husbands. For this is his mountain, and he saves the least and the lost. And his name is Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.